June 28th, 1924 was a hot and sunny day, fluffy white clouds hovering over the lake, people enjoying the waters of Lake Erie. And then things started to get rough as 90 years ago, the Lorain-Sandusky tornado hit the area. And we're joined today by Betsy Danabel, who's written the book, The 1924 Tornado in Lorain and Sandusky. And she joins us to tell us a little bit about that story. And your connection to this, from what I understand, you were a young girl whose grandmother had and grandparents had lived through this tornado, or at least were in the county at the time. Tell us about that.
Yes, they did. Actually, my family is from Illyria. They were Greek immigrants that settled in Illyria in the 19th century. And my grandfather had the Bluebird restaurant, and he had just gotten married. He was a young man. And his sister came to Illyria, got married, and moved to Lorain. So my great aunt, Mary, actually went through the tornado with her husband and three children. And my grandparents, the night of the storm, went to Lorain to find her because they had heard such horrific tales about the tornado. They were so worried that they walked part of the way because the trolley system was down. But they were in their early 20s, and they finally made it there. So, yes, my family has a direct connection with this.
But I understand, though, nobody really talked about it too much. When did you first learn of the connection or of this tornado, the tragedy that took place?
Well, when I was a little girl, like a lot of people in Ohio, we would go to the shore on a hot summer day, and we would go to Lakeview Park Beach. And I used to hear the adults whispering, and I would hear things like, oh, and this is where the storm hit, the tornado hit here, cars were bobbing in the water, houses disappeared. And, of course, I was intrigued. So as an adult, I began to research the subject, and then I realized that the 90th anniversary was this year. So I thought, this is a story that has to be told because many people do not know about this. And just a generation ago, it was taught in the schools, I've been told. Somebody whose parents went through it said that when they were children, every year the schools would show, they would have like a discussion of the tornado, but that has ceased, and a lot of the younger generation doesn't know about it. But it was a very, very important event in the life of the Sandusky and Lorain, and Illyria itself played a good part in the rescue. So this is something that people should know about.
Betsy, what did you find along the way that perhaps caught you a little bit by surprise?
Well, the amount of destruction. Today on the news, we heard about the tornadoes in Nebraska, and they said that 75% of the town was destroyed in the entire business district, and there were 375 people in town. Well, I was thinking, Lorain had 37,000 people, and they lost their entire business district, which was about 200 businesses. And they also had, the total death toll was 83 people, but over 1,000 were injured. And the town, 7,000 people were homeless after the tornado. And the thing that caught me by surprise was the amount of destruction, but also the fact that no one knew this thing was coming. There was total unawareness of what was brewing out on the lake. And this is a very different tornado from the ones that we see out in the Midwest along Tornado Alley, where you have these formations of tornadoes on flat land going through farmland. But here we had a tornado, an F4 tornado, that was created over Sandusky Bay and came in and hit Sandusky and then went back out over Lake Erie and then came straight in and hit Lakeview Park Beach, and then went downtown and hit Lorain, and then eventually, after incredible destruction, went out again over the water, and then jumped back in at Portage County and hit three separate farms and killed three separate farmers in their barns and all their animals. So, and it went all the way to Erie, Pennsylvania. The winds, people found letters and all kinds of debris as far as Erie, Pennsylvania.
We're talking today with Betsy Danibel, who has written the book 1924 Tornado in Lorraine and Sandusky. And many times people for Lorraine talk about the Lorraine tornado, but as you concluded as well, and as Craig and I kind of learned a little bit last year when we were looking at this up as well, Sandusky really also kind of was sort of the starting point, as you mentioned on there. How many people perished in this tornado total?
The total deaths that they have decided on, and I'm going to qualify that statement, is 83 people. But actually, the death toll might be quite higher because they didn't include all the people that died of shock weeks later, people that that were not documented. This was a transient area because you had travelers in Sandusky. In Lorraine, you had an immigrant population, people coming from Central Europe to work in the factories after the World War One. So a lot of people that came through, they didn't have relatives or friends that might document them as missing. So, and many people ended up in Lake Erie, too, because a lot of cars were sucked up and thrown into the lake, houses. So the death toll, the guesstimation, I would call it, is 83. Okay, 72 in Lorraine, 3 in Portage County, and then the rest, 7 or 8 in Sandusky.
Your book kind of focuses on stories of the people. Where did you find these stories? And tell us a little bit of some of the people in your book that you profile.
Well, I just did a research slowly through newspapers and old documents and began to trace these different people who some survived the tornado, like my great aunt, and I had that as a family history, but I also began to see some of the people that did not survive the tornado and what happened to them. And I, some of them just jumped out and I would research them, and some of them have been documented quite well, like the Van Dusen family. They had they lived on 6th Street, and they had a beautiful home, which you think would withstand the tornado, and they did everything right. And there were 10 people in the house, and 5 died. 4 were seriously injured, and 1 person who didn't do anything right but hid in the dining room survived unscathed. So I found these stories very interesting because injuries and deaths were very arbitrary. You would see a person survive without a bruise, and next to them would be someone who had died quite a horrific death. It just depended on where you were and fate. It was really amazing.
Where there were people in the theater in Lorraine that perished, and you'll be speaking at the Lorraine Palace built after the tornado as well. And what I understand is there are no balconies in the Lorraine Palace. One of the reasons, because of the people that perished from being in the balconies of the theater that was in that general area at the time of the tornado.
Well, you know, I never researched the palace itself, so I'm looking forward to being there on June 21st to see it. But yes, people did say that at the State Theater, that the balconies, that some of the people that survived said they started to see the balconies coming down, and that it was a terrible sight because the State Theater collapsed like an accordion. There's 2 records with this tornado. One is it's the single largest death from a single tornado in Ohio history, single outbreak. And the State Theater deaths were the greatest number of deaths in an Ohio theater. And both those records have not been broken. And hopefully they never will because they were bad. But with the State Theater, the Wickens building that was next door was taller. And the State Theater had 3 floors of apartments above the theater itself. It was 4 stories. So the Wickens building actually was hit by the funnel, and all the debris from the top of the Wickens building landed on the State Theater. And the State Theater slowly began to collapse under the weight of the debris. So if you can imagine an accordion slowly compressing. And so there was time for a lot of people to get out, but not for 15. It was impossible. They died. And then many more, of course, were injured.
The book is The 1924 Tornado in Lorraine and Sandusky. The photographs from that time, really show the devastation, but it also shows the spirit of the people coming to help, where people from our surrounding communities, much like your grandparents, worked their way to Ground Zero to look for people to help. Do you have stories about that in the book, too?
Yes, I do. I do. And Alluria played a great part in the rescue because, of course, they're very close to Lorraine. And as soon as people heard of the word got out from Lorraine about what had happened with these bicycle messengers. Boys on bicycles were sent out because the roads were closed and the trolleys were down. And electricity, they didn't have any electricity. So these young boys would get on their bikes and ride to all the outlying communities. And Alluria was one of the first to hear about the storm and responded immediately. The Salvation Army made its way there. They were there with food and hot coffee that night. Rescue crews went there and had, of course, they had to make their way through roads that had been, were just covered with trees, so it was very difficult. But one person, George Copas, was a young man who drove an ambulance, and the hospital in Lorraine filled up almost immediately. They had a terrible time with all the injured because you had over 1,000 people injured, and many of the wounds were very serious, and people had to have surgery. So George Copas found a way, along with a friend, to drive his ambulance to Alluria Memorial Hospital. And he was truly a hero, and he made trip after trip after trip, and he's listed as one of the people who died in the tornado because on one of those trips, they stopped to get gas, and gas stations at that time were very primitive, and somebody was having a cigarette, and they threw a match into the gasoline tank, and it blew up ambulance. George was killed immediately, and his partner was very seriously burned. Luckily, there wasn't a patient in the ambulance. It was a return trip to Lorraine.
Betsy, how far inland did the tornado go in Lorraine? Did it hug the lakeshore, or did it go in a couple blocks?
Well, I was there a couple weeks ago to see the exact route, and I would say that it hugged the lakeshore pretty much. It came into Lakeview Park, then it went on 4th, 5th, and 6th Streets, and then headed for Broadway. And all of those streets are very close to the shore. It's not discernible if you're on Broadway exactly where Lake Erie is, but if you go over just a street or two, you realize you're very close to the lake. And then it went right down Broadway, and it went down into the area, the industrial area, where American Shipbuilding was. And that was a big area for shipbuilding. They had just finished the Henry Ford II for Ford Motor Company, and that was in dry dock there. So, yes, I would say it pretty much hugged the coast, but it hit the main section of Lorraine.
You mentioned that you kind of toured the path, as it were. Any remnants or signs or, I mean, there's probably a lot of farmland, so it didn't be different, but maybe trees or things or just sort of a landscape difference that maybe you noticed because of what you know of the path that you might be able to let us know about or point out?
Well, there in Lorraine specifically, I saw that they have a monument up where the State Theater was. It's behind Broadway. So it's interesting. It's you have to kind of look for it, but it's very nicely done. And then I thought some of the houses, when you see the streets, there's a difference in the streets. Of course, 90 years have passed. And as a child, I remember in the early 60s that it seemed to me far more noticeable that the houses were different from several streets in. And those were the houses that were all destroyed when it hit Lakeview Park, and then it just destroyed a huge residential area. And some of those houses went right into the lake. There was two different types of damage. There was the wind, which was probably close to 100 miles an hour. That type of damage could blow things over, but then you had the effect of the funnel, which actually sucked things up and then would deposit houses, cars. Many cars were destroyed, at least 200. But there again, you don't have an exact number because people that were just driving through and might have been killed, you just don't have them documented.
I know when you came back to Lorraine, you probably saw the Rose Cafe where the bathhouse stood at the time on Lakeview Beach, which has sort of been rebuilt and kind of a little bit of an indication of, you know, what used to be there or what is there now, kind of the point where it kind of came ashore to all those people who were just enjoying their day on a beach. And you have it also there, you mentioned how your grandmother from that point on, anytime there was a storm, she'd head down to the lowest level, because anybody who lived through that probably from that point on really affected their life and their connection to any kind of weather.
Yes, it did. It affected my grandmother. She was terrified of storms, so she would always look out to see if there was any if there were clouds in the sky, and if it looked threatening, she wouldn't go anywhere. And if you actually had a storm, she was terrified. She would be in the cellar because she couldn't believe what had happened. It was like Armageddon. When they went there at night, there wasn't any electricity. People were injured. Houses had been totally destroyed. It was a horrible scene, and the death toll, the injured at night, people calling for help, left a real imprint on her mind. But as you mentioned, the Rose Cafe, yes, that is so interesting. That is right above the bathhouse. The bathhouse was rebuilt and then remodeled several times after the tornado, and there's one part which I didn't get to see on my last trip, but I hope to see this time when I come to Elyria and Lorraine, is the marble arch that was part of the original bathhouse built in 1917. That survived the storm, and it's been incorporated in every structure since then.
Well, you will be coming to the Lorraine Palace on Saturday, June 21st at 2 o'clock. They're having a Lorraine Tornado History Program at the Lorraine Palace Theater. You'll be there. Local meteorologist John Loftman also will be there as well, and a slide presentation that people will give to see what it was like and to kind of get a view of 1924 Lorraine and how things have changed over the years. You'll also then be at the Sandusky Library on June 23rd at 6 o'clock, and you'll be at Books A Million in Sandusky as well on June 29th with your book. Again, it's the 1924 Tornado in Lorraine and Sandusky. Our guest today, Betsy Danabale, thank you for sharing the stories with us, and appreciate putting this in book form. As you mentioned, it's some part of history that maybe people at some point don't know about, but this is a good context to put things in. If people want to get a hold of your book, I guess check you out at the different locations you'll be at.
Yes, and it's also sold on Amazon.com, and it will be on Kindle.
Sounds very good. Our guest today, Betsy Danabale, thank you for sharing the time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.